All right, are y'all ready for today? Here we go. I never thought I would teach a sermon from Genesis to Revelation. So get ready, but here we go. So the title of this message is, The Bible is Our Roadmap. Now, and if you got your Bibles, you can pull them out. If you got your notes, you can pull those out. Here we go. I want to take you on a journey of how the Bible's changed my life. And I'm sure you guys all have a personal journey how the Bible has changed your life. But to start, I want to start with a game here. I got some stuff in this box, and I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to put it on, and you have to guess who I am. You guys ready? Here we go. We'll start out easy. Here we go. Actually, these are all very easy. Here we go. All right. Who am I? A doctor. Very good. How did you guys know that quick? All right, here we go. A little tougher. Here we go. Oh. Who am I? A carpenter, a contractor. Good. All right. Who am I? Baseball player. All right. We got some baseball players in here. We'll just put this right here for now. All right. Who am I? No. I'm a Christian. This represents a Christian. Okay. What's interesting about the Bible is this is a part of the body armor of God that you can actually carry around and people can see. So the body armor of God, let's go through a little review here. The belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Shoes of peace that comes from the good news. The shield of faith. The helmet of and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what's neat is that when you bring your Bible around, people know, hey, that's a Christian there. Hey, that's cool. So you can be a witnessing tool just by carrying your Bible to places, which is neat. Now, baseball. I love baseball. When I was a little kid, maybe 5 years old, I was over at someone's house, and he says, I am a coach of a baseball team. Do you want to try out for the baseball team? I was so excited. The next day, I got my bat, I got my glove, and it was just the anticipation was real. I was like, here we go. I'm ready to go. My first practice. But you know what happened? It rained. It was a rain out. Yeah. And that person forgot they asked me to ever be on their team. So I had to wait a whole nother year before I played baseball. But I still remember the anticipation I got with my baseball bat and my baseball glove the first time I was ever going to be able to play baseball. Now, let me tell you about the first time I ever brought my Bible to church when I first met the Lord. How do you think I felt? Well, I was actually a little embarrassed, to be honest with you. I remember my dad says, hey, bring your Bible to church. I get out of my car and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I actually have to carry my Bible across the parking lot into church. I was very embarrassed. But stay tuned for the end of the sermon, see what happens next. I remember the first time I ever bought my Bible. So that's why I bring my Bible to church. It's because all these people bring their stethoscope to work. They bring their tape measure. Can you imagine the carpenter not bringing his tape measure? That'd be bad. Okay, you got to bring your bat and your glove. Okay, hey, an encouragement is, let's bring our Bibles to church. Where else are we going to bring them? Now, cool thing about this Bible, this is my first Bible since I got saved. This thing, how many people have Bibles like this? Torn pages. And it's all right to write notes in your Bible. I got highlighting in my Bible. That's all right. Look, this one, this page has tape all over it. And the tabs, you guys got Bible with tabs? A lot of these tabs are torn out. But that's all right. That's all right. Because the Bible is my roadmap. You guys ever see those old treasure maps? Are those treasure maps in mint condition? No. Those treasure maps are all worn out. Okay, this was my first Bible. Now, when I would always hear when I was a kid, hey, read your Bible, read your Bible. So where would I start? Naturally, I would start with Genesis. And I'd read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created everything, the heavens and the earth. But I never got past the first chapter of Genesis because I never knew what I was really doing. And when I first got saved, they said, hey, read your Bible. And I didn't know where to start. So I started in 1 Corinthians. Interesting. I don't know how that happened, but I started in 1 Corinthians. And if I find it here we go. One of the first things I ever highlighted in my Bibles, and that's the neat thing, is I can go back. It says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you his grace and peace. That's the verse I needed at that time. I read 1 Corinthians and I was hooked. Okay, but I still didn't know what I was doing. I eventually landed in Leviticus and I thought, where am I here? So today we're going to go through the structure of the Bible and how the Bible connects. So if I could call up Miss Melody, Josie, Jadiel, Jomar, Pastor Lorenzo, give these guys a hand here. They are going to help me today. So we are going to build. All right, here we go. So we are going to go through the Bible structure here because I think it's important. First of all, how many books are there in the Bible? How many people know? Yell it out. 66 books are in the Bible. And how many books are in the Old Testament? 39 in the Old Testament. Do the math. 27 in the New Testament. Let's put up a verse here before we even start about the Bible structure. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means the whole Bible, God-inspired. The whole Bible is true. So we will start there. There's no deviating from that. The Bible is 100% true. So when we bring out all these books of the Bible, every book is true and God-breathed by God. There are two testaments to the Bible. There's two sections. This would be the Old Testament and this would be the New Testament. We will cover that today. So let's get started with the books of the law. I need five books, please. The books of the law, or the Pentateuch, which consists of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We can put these right here. You can just bring the whole stack. Bring the whole stack right here. Here we go. Five books represent the law, the Pentateuch. We got a very important scripture. Actually, let's go over some things in the law. Creation. You learn about creation in here. You learn about the Tower of Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's sons, Moses, and the Ten Commandments. If you want to read about those, they're in the first five books of the Bible, the law, right there. All right, there's a very important scripture in Genesis. If you could go to Genesis 12:3. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed by you. God said this to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, the great nation of Israel. So remember that scripture. It is a very important scripture in history, and it keeps appearing every day almost. So remember that scripture. Let's go to Old Testament history. We need 12 books, please. Old Testament history. So this is the beginning. This is going to be all the Old Testament and all the New Testament. Old Testament history consists of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. All right, so 12 books of Old Testament history. If you're a history buff, here you go. This is the section of the Bible you want to read. Very important stuff here. But a key scripture, this is a key scripture for today. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Now, a little reference about this verse is that Moses had just died, and Joshua has now taken the leadership position. And here were some of his words. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law, he's referring to the law at this point, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua said, we actually learned about Joshua, choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, he was big on following God's word. Keep that scripture. If you write notes down, write that scripture down, because we're going to come back to that. Next section of books is poetry. 5 books, please. Old Testament poetry consists of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. What will you find in these 5 books? You will find Job's testing. You will find songs, prayer, wisdom, romance. That is in Song of Solomon. And speaking of romance, if you could put up the next scripture, please. Because Psalm 13:6, this might be an ordinary scripture for you, but it's not an ordinary scripture for me. It says, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been so good to me. Why is this scripture so important in my life? Well, let me tell you. How many people, now back in the day, there were cell phones. Yeah, cell phones were around, not too, chat rooms. How many people remember chat rooms? Maybe we'll get a few hands up. Oh, okay, Tim knows what a chat room is. Okay, yeah, we got a few, so a few people know what a chat room is. There was a Christian chat room, and I was in a Christian chat room on my computer, and someone had this screen name, Psalms 13:6. Now, my screen name wasn't a Bible verse. My screen name was actually a wrong name named Gregory in a wrong age. I did write the state I lived in. That was correct. But someone had this screen name, Psalm 13:6. This is interesting, because when you go in a Christian chat room, you don't know who you're going to find in there, because there were some people that were in there just to bash Christians. So I said, this one's interesting. Let me look up in the Bible. Let me pull out my Bible. And I pull out Psalms 13:6 and say, okay, I will sing the Lord because he has been so good to me. Let me type that into this person. Type it into that person. That person was Melody. That was over 20 years ago. So thank you, Melody, and thank you for the Lord leading you for Psalms 13:6. So, yes, that is the verse that hooked me up with my wife. So that is interesting. Now, Melody, you have something to share with us today. Her one talent, she says, she's going to share with you the books of the Bible. Okay, now she's not going to sit here for an hour and tell you the books of the Bible. She's going to tell you the books of the Bible as fast as she can. So if you're interested in timing her, time her, go for it. And I'm gonna get ready, because I'm gonna say, on your marks, let's go.
Oh, okay. Hold up.
Oh wait, we do have an official timekeeper.
You're timing
here.
Me again. You
here
know
we go.
I'm good.
Here we go.
Okay, ready?
On your marks, get sets, go.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Epistles to the Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 1 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation.
All right, let's see. Oh, 22. That was slow.
That's my slow time.
All right, here we go. Next section of books are the major prophets. 5 books, please, for the major prophets. The next section will be the minor prophets, but the major prophets. Here we go. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. You will find some prophecy in there, obviously. Now, the next section are the minor prophets. 12 books, please. Minor. Why do they call them minor prophets and major prophets? Were some more important than the others? It was because of the book length. So the five, these are going to be larger books. These 12 are going to be smaller books. And let's read you the minor prophets. You just heard it. Hosea, Joel. I'll slow it down for you. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Wow. Whew. All right. So this represents the Old Testament. Testament means contract, covenant, or agreement. This is the Old Covenant. We're going to learn about that in a little bit. And this is going to be the New Covenant. So now we're ready to build the New Testament. We need 5 books, please. This will represent the 4 Gospels and Acts, which are history, New Testament history. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Okay? The Gospels teach about the life and teaching of Jesus. If you want to read about Jesus, right here. Although all this connects to Jesus, which we'll learn. But if you want to learn the specifics about the Gospels, Acts, the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it later goes on to say, Jesus, the Word became flesh. So the Bible, it's Jesus is the Bible, okay? So the Bible's true. So these are good things. Let's go to the epistles written by Paul. 13 books, please. Whew. Here we go. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. These are the 13 epistles written by Paul, who was Saul, and you'll learn about him in Acts and how God changed his life. Whew, that's a lot of books there. How'd you carry that all? All right. Here we go. Some of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need. Another one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 10:9. Let me tell you a little story about that. When I lived in Pittsburgh with my parents, there was a special day, a unique day, that they were going to film a TV show in my living room at my house. So they were going to come over, they were going to film, and they needed a studio audience. I was not part of the studio audience, I was not part of the TV show, but there were a lot of people coming to my house because they wanted to see a TV show filmed at my house. It was a lot of excitement. Hey, go to the Shears house, they're going to be filming a TV show. A lot of people coming to the house. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool? Because what I did when I first became a Christian is I had a legal pad. And I would write out Bible scriptures and references. And then I would memorize them. And I don't know, I had about 50 to 100 there. And I said, wouldn't it be cool? They're filming in the living room. What if I'm off to the side here in the dining room? And I have a legal pad full of scriptures that we could play a little game with. They could read the scripture and I could tell them the scripture reference. I said, let's do it. All right, so they're getting ready to film the TV show. This is a big cable TV station. And there was overflow, obviously, because there's a lot of people in my house. My house wasn't that big. So a lot of people, they come spilling over. And I said, hey, can we play a game real quick? I'm going to give you the legal pad. You read the Bible reference, or you read the Bible scripture, and I'm going to guess the scripture. And I was spot on that day. They would say, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And then he'd be like, Philippians 4:13. And on and on and on. But there was one scripture, if you could put it on the screen, that I knew that the game was more than a game. There must have been 50 to 100 scriptures on this legal pad. And randomly, this person selected this scripture. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I said, Romans 10:9. And she didn't say, oh, you're right. No, she said, real seriously, she said, is that true? So at that moment, I knew it wasn't a game. And I knew that the Word of God speaks to us. The Word of God speaks to our hearts. Now, I don't know eventually what happened to her. I know that seed was planted that day, that she knew Romans 10:9 was true. And she knew that, wait a minute, huh? And I knew that, wait a minute, the Word of God speaks to us. So when we read the Word of God, it's God speaking to us. Let's get involved in the Word of God. Let's go to the general epistles, which are 8 books, please. The general epistles are Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. We're almost there. Almost there. There should be one book left. Is that right? Who knows that final book? Revelation is our final book. If you could bring up Revelation, please. Revelation, all about prophecy. Pastor Brian has a great sermon series. I believe it's on YouTube on Revelation. Great book about prophecy. Give it up for these guys building the Bible for me. Thank you very much. Except for Pastor Lorenzo, your job is not done yet. Pastor Lorenzo, if you could pull out the bungee cords, please. All right. Now, what's interesting, Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible has many parallels where it connects the Old Testament and the New Testament. To illustrate it, can we put some bungee cords up just to illustrate this? No, all you. You can have Johnny help you. Johnny, if you want to help him. All right, many parallels in the Old Testament and the New Testament because Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And many things of what you read here, you can connect the dots to the New Testament. We're just going to go through a few of them. I would be here all year describing all the parallels between the Old and the New Testament. Let's see how he's doing here. Oh, he's doing good. All right. But today, I'm just going to list three. I don't know how many there are, too many to count. But today, we're going to go three of them. Let's talk about first, manna. How many people remember manna? Manna would have been right here. Manna. What was manna anyways? Who ate manna? Okay. The Israelites were given manna from heaven. All right. So, what does that have to do with Jesus? Let's see. John chapter 6, 30-35. I'll give you just, this isn't on the screen, but it says, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus came down from heaven to earth. I'm ready to sing that song. He came down from heaven to earth. All right. Jesus came down from heaven to earth, the true bread from heaven. Because there's even more parallels. Let's go to Micah. Micah 5, and that minor prophet. Micah 5 actually prophesies about where Jesus would be born. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. That's one of the coolest parallels. I love that parallel, how Jesus is the true manna from heaven. That's why when you read this, you got to think, how does this connect to Jesus? Passover. Now, we just celebrated Easter and Resurrection Sunday. So Passover, let's talk about Passover. We're back to here. We're going to talk about Passover. This is one of my favorites, too. These are actually my three favorites. Okay. They were to take a lamb without defect. Okay. Now keep in mind, as I'm saying this, this all relates to Jesus because Jesus was the Lamb of God. They were to take a lamb without defect. And it goes on saying they were not to break any of the lamb's legs. And if you read in the Gospels, you'll find out that they did not break any of Jesus' legs. Okay? They were to kill the lamb. They crucified Jesus. They are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top door frames of the houses where they were. So I think it was with a hyssop branch, and they marked the doorpost. I remember teaching in kids' church, we were going to throw a Barbie dream house away, and I said, don't throw that away. I can use that for kids' church. And I'd always use that for Passover and paint the door frames with red paint. All right. So they were to take some of that lamb's blood, and they were to paint it on the doorposts of their house. So there was a plague going to go on that night. And if the Lord came to that house, and there was blood on that door frame, he would Passover. That's why it's called Passover. He would pass over that house. And if you did not have the blood of the lamb on your doorposts, judgment was coming, and it would be the firstborn of your sons and, I believe, your animals as well. And there would be judgment. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses. And it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over for you. No destructive plague will touch you. Okay? Let's fast forward into John. And John the Baptist, when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, what's interesting, I could go on for a whole sermon about how Passover connects with Jesus. It is so interesting. Even the timelines and everything, even how Pontius Pilate could find no wrong because the Lamb had to have no defect. Nothing had to be perfect. Jesus was our Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Another connection between the Old and the New Testament. Let's talk about the tabernacle and the temple. Tabernacle and the temple. Now I'm reading out of Hebrews 9. That's not on the screen. It says, now the first covenant, the Old Testament, had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and gold covered. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. Let me just go on here. Gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that was budded, stone tablets, the Ten Commandments were in there. So you had the tabernacle, you had Moses who built the tabernacle, and then you had Solomon who built the temple. Okay? It says, but only someone could enter the inner room. Who was that someone? It was the high priest. But only the high priest could enter the inner room, and that only once a year, and he had to have blood. He had to have blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. Okay? So he had to bring blood. He was the mediator between him and the people, and he would go in to the most holy place. Here we go back over here. Jesus came to be our high priest. And Jesus came to be our mediator. He entered the most holy place once and for all by his blood. The animal sacrifices, that wouldn't do. Jesus' blood, once and for all. Now, if you keep on reading, let me go into the New Testament now. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He said, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We could worship Jesus anywhere, but something else happened. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? It says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. So the temple was torn from top to bottom. When I read that before, when I was a new Christian, I said, oh, cool. The temple, the curtain torn in two. Actually, I think that was in one of the songs this morning, that verse. So, but it has meaning because only the high priest could go in to the most holy place. But Jesus is our high priest. And when Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, which means only God could tear it. And now we can enter into his presence. We can have relationship with Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is it says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? So now, instead of the most holy place, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you when you receive Jesus. He's not living in an earthly temple anymore. He's living in us. Jesus was the ultimate example of that. Now, funny story. Here's some childlike faith I had when I was a kid. Maybe there's a star up in heaven for this. There's a scripture that says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied. And then I think it was the Pharisees that says, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? Now, Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his body. They were going to destroy his temple, but he was going to build it up. Now, when I was a little kid, I actually thought that Jesus built the temple in 3 days. So I thought, I just kept envisioning Jesus with all these bricks going in fast forward motion, rebuilding the temple. Childlike faith. And then I learned, and once I got into God's word and I could learn the parallels, I thought, oh, that's not what he meant. But for a minute there, I really did think. So let's talk about the importance of God's word. Back when I was a senior in high school, and we have some high school kids in here, as a senior in high school, and they were going to blow up a building in downtown Pittsburgh, I thought, this is going to be cool. I am bringing my video camera to film this event. And sure I did. I brought my video camera down, and I wanted to get a good view. And then they kicked me out of one place, and they put me in another place, and I filmed it. And I said, people got to see this. There was no YouTube back then. I couldn't just post it on YouTube. So what I did is I made a copy on a VHS tape. Some of you guys know what that means. A VHS tape. And I had to give it to a UPS driver or a FedEx driver, and they had to ship it all the way to California. But they had to like the video to show it. They called me up, and they said, we like your video. Can we show it? I said, yeah, you can show it, of course. So they had one of the writers give me a call. I said, okay. They said, tell us all about this. And I give them all the facts of what happened so they could put their story together and air it on TV. And are you guys ready in the back for that? We've got it here today for you guys to see. So, without further ado, let's see my film footage of this building going down.
Well, Melinda, thank you. Well, now for the case of the real TV viewer who got a little too close to the action. A building is coming down, and he wants it on tape. He gets it, and a whole lot more.
It's a rainy morning in downtown Pittsburgh, and this old building is about to blow. A 22-year-old amateur cameraman, Matt Shearer, hides in a garage to shoot the implosion. But the demolition team knows this is a dangerous spot to stand. And if they are not careful, lives could be lost. Watch now as they quickly move the cameraman out of harm's way to what, in their expert opinion, is a safer location. Now with the detonators in place and a series of split-second explosions, the building goes down with a thunderous roar. It's a rousing success, but watch now how a thick cloud of dust puts the cameraman and the public in danger.
I can crush a cork.
It rolls at them at an astounding speed.
As soon as I crush a cork, you stand in it?
Yeah.
The dust storm surrounds him and the panicked crowd. Bravely, the cameraman keeps shooting.
I press record and I was...
He soon realizes that he's bitten off more than he can chew.
That was the wildest thing here.
Blinded, the cameraman continues to roll.
You can't even see it.
Manages to capture the crowd's reaction.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
That was wild, man. That was the best experience in life.
Still, the dust cloud won't stop coming.
We got a warning or something.
And it's becoming more and more difficult for him to shoot.
I'm just closing my eyes and keeping it on record. I honestly, I can't
see. Keep recording.
It's hours before anyone can witness the aftermath.
Oh, my gosh.
And when the dust finally clears...
Not there anymore.
That majestic building is gone. All that remains? A heap of rubble 30 feet high.
It's gone.
And remember where the cameraman was originally standing? Well, it was only a few feet away. Disaster avoided. I guess these guys really do know what they're doing.
This is real TV.
Well, more action caught on tape by our viewers.
All right.
In our next three tapes, they're today's.
So, yeah, hey, yeah. That's cool. One of my videos was on TV. Now, I know that video front and back. Let me give you some disclaimers here. All right. If you caught the age, it says I was 22 years old. I don't think I was 22 years old in 12th grade. That would have been... No, I was not 22 years old in 12th grade. They changed my age. It said I was a few feet away from disaster. That's not true. I was actually pretty far away. Cloud came at us at an astounding speed. It came out as fast, but not like Superman. It said it took a few hours for the dust to disappear. Maybe 30 minutes, not a few hours. The other thing is, I know this video left and right, is what they did is they switched some of my audio clips around. So they said this piece of audio would go good here and this piece would go here. Because I specifically know because I can see my friend in there and his mouth's not moving, but it's got his voice. Reminds me of something in the Bible. And this is where we need to be careful, but I'll get to that. If we could go to Matthew 4, if you guys could turn to Matthew 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is the word. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So what Satan's doing is he's trying to twist the scriptures to Jesus. Jesus answered him, "It is also written," written. Remember, Jesus keeps coming back to the word of God. Jesus keeps coming back to the word of God. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Okay, so the devil tried, he did that in the garden. Adam and Eve fell for it. But he did it to Jesus. Jesus did not fall for it. Okay? Jesus came back to what is in the Bible. Now, the reason I bring up that news story is because that was personal. I know that was, oh my goodness, that wasn't truthful. So what happens is when you're scrolling through your social media feeds, it may look like truth, but it might be slightly twisted, and it might not be true. And the only way to know if it's true is to back it up with the word of God. You wouldn't believe how many people fall for it. They'll take one scripture and they'll go out in right field with it. Back it up with the word of God. We assume a lot. And there was actually one time at work they would say these things. "Yeah, this is in the Bible. This is in the Bible." Finally, I said, "Can you show me that scripture? I'm just so interested to see where that scripture's at." And they pulled up the scripture, but it wasn't the scripture that they kept referencing. It was something else. It had a little twist to it. So sometimes people think it's scripture. And when I was reading through the Bible, I thought, oh my goodness. Wow, all this time, I just believe that it was this because people said that. But you got to read the word of God to find out what is truth. Now, the people who demolished that building, the people who were in charge of it, I actually met up with him. Me and my friend met up with him years later. We were so excited to see him because he's a real smart engineer, putting dynamite in specific spots. We said, "Hey, can we interview you?" He says, "Sure." He says, "Hey," we were so excited. He said, "Hey, did you see that Real TV clip? You guys, we got your building on the news." What do you think his response was? He wasn't too happy with it. He was not happy with it because it made his company look bad. Because they gave incorrect information. The truth wasn't told there. So here's what I got to say. If you guys have notes, God's word keeps us on track. God's word keeps us on track. If God's word keeps us on track, what happens if we don't have God's word? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. And if you read Kings, just to let you know, in Chronicles, you're gonna see a similar theme. It's gonna say, "And he was the king of Israel, and he did right in the Lord's eyes." Or more often than not, "And he was the king of Israel, and he did evil in the Lord's sight." Okay, so there were a lot of kings over here that did evil in the Lord's sight. But I had to read this twice to really gather what happened here. So let's go to it. 2 Kings chapter 22, 8 through 10. Hilkiah the high priest, we just learned about a high priest, by the way, said to Shaphan the secretary, and at this time Josiah is the king, who did right in the Lord's sight. So Shaphan says to Josiah, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to say, oh, actually, hold on. He has not talking to Josiah yet. He says, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He said, he gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king, Josiah, and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money." It's like, I got good news and I got bad news. And it's funny because he's going to tell the good news first. "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Now here's the bad news. Then Safon the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the high priest has given me a book. And Safon read it and read from it in the presence of the king. Okay. So what happened in the temple is they lost the book of the law. That is, remember I talked about that in Joshua. Meditate on this day and night. Keep it, actually, meditate on it day and night. Keep this on your lips. Somehow the book of the law went missing. Their roadmap went missing. I don't know. It's still a mystery. We don't know. The scriptures doesn't say how it got lost. But it says that it was discovered. How it got discovered. How could you... Well, actually what happened, and that explains why. This king did evil in the Lord's sight, and this king did evil in the Lord's sight, and this king did evil. Now, Josiah did what was right in the Lord's sights, but listen to this. So this isn't on the screen. I'm just going to rip through this real quick. When the king heard the books of the law, what do you think he was? He like, all right, cool, we got the book of the law. No, he tore his robes. He knew that we're in trouble because what God said, God's word's true, and what he said, it's going to happen. And he knew that judgment was coming their way because they did not obey it. Not only did they not obey it, they lost it somewhere in the temple. It got lost. So Josiah says, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. Now, if we keep on going, it says, this is what the Lord says, I am going to bring disaster on this place and people. The king, he read their hearing, all the words of the book of the covenant, Josiah, so he's renewing this covenant, which he found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord in his commands. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests next in rank. This is great. Just listen to this and let this sink in. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry host. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah. There was a lot of corruption going on in the temple of the Lord. The roadmap was missing. Furthermore, Josiah, we read about, a lot of the songs that you hear, it's interesting because when they play, I say, I know where that's at in the Bible. That's from the Bible. I know exactly where that's at. A lot of the songs that we sing on Sunday morning are from the Bible. It's really cool. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of all the mediums and the spirits, the household gods, the idols, and all other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. He did this to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Now, another neat thing, and let this apply to your life, is God's word will clean house, okay? God's word will clean our hearts. So just as Josiah saw, okay, we got to get rid of all this stuff. That's what God needs to do in our heart when we read his word. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah, because of all that Manasseh, he was an evil king, if you read about him, had done to arouse his anger. So the Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my presence as I have removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, Nebuchadnezzar, you guys know that name, right? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Judah, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. He encamped outside the city and built siege walls around it. So Judah went into captivity away from her land. The southern kingdom of Israel exiled into Babylon. So that's where you read in Daniel where they're exiled to Babylon. We learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which those are the Babylonian names. But they lost the roadmap. They lost their Bible. So I'll ask this question to you guys is, well, real quick, without God's word, it will bring you to places you do not want to go. Without God's word, it will bring you to places you do not want to go. The map went missing. Their Bible went missing. They followed their own ways. And this was a big cleaning house. Now, sadly, after Josiah, there were still some more evil kings, and then the exile came. So I'll ask this to you guys. Where is your Bible? Do you guys know where your Bible is at your house? Locate your Bible and let the Bible be your roadmap. I encourage you, now I have my Bible on my phone too, but I encourage you, just like I told you about that story, bring your Bibles to church. People are bringing baseball bats to their baseball games. When I go to a baseball game, I'm all excited. I'm bringing a baseball jersey. When I'm going to church, I'm bringing my Bible. Bring your Bibles to church. Another thing, bring your Bible to restaurants. You'd be surprised at the conversations that come up when someone sees you reading your Bible. You just never know who it'll touch. If you're at a coffee house, instead of scrolling through your phone, bring your Bible. People will ask you questions. Read your Bible on a consistent basis. Obey God's word. So not only do we need to know it and read it, but we need to obey it. We need to obey it. Now, going back when I was scared to bring my Bible to church, I eventually got over that, thank the Lord. I used to work at a cemetery. Yeah, okay. All right. When I was a teenager. And there was a period there when I worked at the cemetery before I was saved and during when I was saved. And every morning there would be card games in the cemetery break room. There would be some undesirable reading material there. There would be card games. There would be foul talk. There would be cigarette smoking everywhere. I would have to sometimes go like this just to breathe. So one day I thought, I can't remember if it was my Bible or a Christian publication, or Christian literature. I can't remember what it was, but it had something to do with God's word. And I brought it in that break room, so while they played their cards, I was just going to be in the corner reading the Bible or something about Jesus. Okay, so the card game went on. I heard some people, what are you reading? Okay, so do you think it was a hit? Like, hey, no. They took my favorite baseball hat, my Kansas City Royals baseball hat. They took it off my head, and they took all the ashes from the cigarette smoked during that card game. They put it all in my hat. And they said, here's your hat back. Okay, now that was over 20 years ago. Now, the Bible is my roadmap. Now, not only, so I had to look up, okay, God, what do I do? They just threw some cigarettes in my hat here. What do I do? Okay, well, I got to forgive them. I got to love them. Okay. And the Bible does say that blessed are you if you're persecuted for the kingdom of God. Okay, so it didn't stop me, so thank goodness for that. But be afraid to bring your Bible to places. All right. So, let's start wrapping this up here. Why is the Bible our roadmap? So why is the Bible our roadmap? Because the Bible points us to Jesus. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Now, interesting enough, Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh. So Jesus is referred to the Word. And Jesus is also referred to as the light of the world. That was written in Psalms, another parallel. But remember, everything points to Jesus. Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now, interesting enough, I've never thought of this scripture in this way until studying for this. So, I envision it, Jesus, this is in Revelation, so we started in Genesis, now we're in Revelation. Whew. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking at the door. But remember who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's almost as if the Passover lamb is coming and knocking at your door. He's knocking at your door. And there was a meal. And it does say that I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And he's knocking at our door. So I want to do two prayers. First prayer I want to do is for those who do not know the Lord and those watching at home. Let's go through the plan of salvation. which is outlined in the Bible, which is cool. Romans 3:23. How many people have ever sinned before? Every hand is up. First of all, we got to admit that we're a sinner. We've all sinned. Remember the old covenant? It could not hold up. Jesus came and fulfilled it. We've all sinned. And the Bible says in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that word believe, what does that word believe mean? That word believe means to cling to, rely on, and trust in Jesus. What is that? It says, he, whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not have a spiritual death. Okay? If you don't have Jesus, there's a punishment. Because Jesus, if you don't receive Jesus, then you have to pay the punishment yourself. If you receive Jesus, you take what he's done for you on the cross as your punishment for your sins. So yes, there is a spiritual death, a place called hell, if you do not receive Jesus. If you receive Jesus, though, he gives you eternal life. Romans 10:9, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. Here's that verse again that was on that legal pad during that time of that game. But this is God's word. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus loves all of us. He wants to spend eternity with all of us. But Jesus gives us the choice. So if you guys could all bow your heads and close your eyes. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus before, and you want to go ahead and do that today, you can just go ahead and raise your hand. Jesus loves all you guys. We just outlined the whole plan here from Genesis to Revelation. How Jesus has a plan. He loves you guys, and he died on the cross for you. Let's all repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I love you. I ask for forgiveness of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I confess as Lord and Savior. Help me to follow your Holy Spirit. I love you, Jesus. Amen. The second prayer is, I know most of you guys know the Lord in here. Second prayer is, how can we get more involved in God's Word? How can God's Word become alive? I know there's been periods in my life, I remember when I kept reading Genesis 1:1 over and over. I don't even know where that Bible went, to be honest with you. That Bible went missing somewhere. And I pray that your Bible's not missing. But more importantly, I pray that you're involved in God's Word. Read God's Word. Obey God's Word. Because it's God speaking to you. So I just want to pray a general prayer to close this out here. Just to encourage you guys, get involved in God's Word. And let the Bible be your roadmap. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your plan of salvation, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that your Word points us to Jesus. Help the Bible be our roadmap. What does the Bible say, Lord? Bring the words alive and speak to us. And encourage everyone here, Lord. Let's get involved in the Word of God. We love you. We praise you. We pray for all these people here. Let's have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's Word and apply it to our lives.